Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
The gospel for this weekend reminds us that Jesus Christ is the source of our nourishment. It was for the 5,000 that Jesus fed in this miraculous story. And Christ continues to be the source of our nourishment almost 2,000 years later, in the form of his body and blood. Now, this miracle must have overwhelmed the early Christians in the first century because it's the only miracle story in all of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In fact, this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 has fascinated theologians and scholars throughout the centuries. Notice how the story begins. It says, Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. My friends, it's a basic biblical truth. Whenever we hear the word mountain, whether it's in the New Testament or the Old Testament, it always is synonymous where God is. It's the place where heaven and earth unite. It's the spiritually charged place where we encounter the divine. Let me give you some examples. Noah beaches his ark on the top of Mount Ararat and establishes a covenant with God. Abraham climbs Mount Moriah in order to sacrifice his son Isaac, and there he encounters God and establishes a new covenant with God. Moses climbs Mount Sinai, and there he encounters God in the form of a burning bush. Jesus climbs Mount Tabor and is miraculously transfigured in front of his own apostles. And therefore, at the very beginning of this story, we know that something very special is about to take place. Next in the story, it says, the Jewish feast of Passover was near. Now, what we have to understand is when we read John's gospel, his gospel is heavily saturated with deep symbolism. No detail should ever be overlooked. In fact, the details are intentionally specific, giving us symbolic meaning. In this case, the Passover. Now, what we have to understand is the Passover was the Jewish feast in which they celebrated the event of Exodus, in which God leads the people through Moses out of slavery in Egypt, out to the desert, and eventually to the Promised Land. Every time we gather here at Mass, we essentially remember our new Passover, in which Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice on the cross, leads us out of slavery, the slavery of sin and death. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, now he leads us out of the slavery of sin and death and to the Promised Land, which is eternal life with him in heaven. And therefore, at the Mass, we continually celebrate that sacrifice as well as our liberation from our slavery. And yet the story continues. Jesus, it says, raised his eyes, saw the large crowd coming toward him, and said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" Now this is important to understand. Jesus takes the initiative. He knows that the people coming towards him are tired, poor, and hungry. And therefore, Jesus takes the initiative to now try and feed them. Jesus Christ also took the initiative at the time of the Last Supper, in which he instituted the very first Mass and then commanded the apostles to continue the Mass in his name. Jesus did this because he recognized just how important his body and blood was necessary for our own spiritual growth. The early church fathers referred to the Eucharist as food for the journey. Why? Because Christ's body and blood is literally food that is essential for our soul. Just like our own bodies need food and water in order for us to survive, live, and grow, so too does our soul need the body and blood of Jesus Christ in order for it to continue in the spiritual life, in order for it to thrive. Better yet, the more we eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the more we grow into the image and likeness of who we are. Remember our origins. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God says, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness." The more we eat the body, the more we drink the blood of Jesus Christ, we gradually grow into that image and likeness of God. I think St. Catherine of Siena best summarizes this. St. Catherine of Siena, when meditating and reflecting upon the body and blood of Jesus Christ, she writes, "Every time we eat the body and drink the blood of Jesus Christ, we, little by little by little, grow into the image and likeness we were originally created in. Throughout our entire life, as we receive the body and blood, we are growing into that image until the very end of our life, when we leave this world and enter the next world, heaven. And when we stand before God," St. Catherine writes, "God looks at us and he sees a mirror image of himself." Essentially, what St. Catherine is trying to teach us is that the more we eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the more we grow into the image and likeness that each and every one of us was created in. And that's our goal in life. The gospel continues. Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place. Now this is an odd detail that John includes. Why did John just say, "Jesus told the people reclined and they sat down"? Why does he include this specific detail, "there was a great deal of grass in that place"? Well, remember last week's gospel in which Jesus looked upon the people scattered and said they were like sheep without a shepherd. Well, how does Psalm 23 begin? "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. In green pastures I find rest. He leads me to restful waters." Essentially, John is now alluding to the fact that Jesus Christ truly is our good shepherd. He leads us to green pastures so that we may find rest, so as to now feed us. And he does. Jesus takes the meager portion of gifts that is given to him, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, that is hardly enough to feed 5,000 people. And yet he takes them, he blesses them, and then he distributes them to the people. And what happens? Does Jesus give them just enough for them to get by so that the next day they can go out and fend for themselves and get their own food? No, not at all. It says the people had their fill. More so, there was leftovers, 12 wicker baskets full. The symbolism here is rich. Everything that Jesus does, he does in a super abundant way, over the top, an excess of. Remember the story of the wedding feast of Cana. Jesus turns the water into wine, and afterwards there are hundreds of gallons of wine all over. Jesus, at the very end of his life, needs to reconcile the world back to the Father. And yet, only one person can do that, the Son of God, and therefore gives himself completely over in a superabundant way to the world and to God, and sacrifices his life. Well, we see this now on display in this miracle. Jesus performs this miracle, feeds 5,000 in a superabundant way. It's over the top. He not only feeds them and they have their fill, but now there's leftover. Well, what does this mean for us? Every time we gather for the Eucharist, Jesus not only feeds us, but the grace that we receive from the Eucharist is always superabundant, over the top, excessive, more than we can possibly need or imagine. And you see, this happens every time we celebrate Mass. Think of it. At the time of the offertory, we come forward and we bring our meager gifts to God. A little bit of wine, a little bit of water, and a few hosts. And Christ takes those meager gifts, just like he did in this miracle story. He blesses them, and then through the power of the Holy Spirit, they are consecrated in a super abundant way, such that now they are transformed into the greatest gift that God could possibly give us, other than his only Son, the gift of his body and blood. And through that great gift, we eat and are filled, and now we receive the superabundant grace from that gift. My friends, St. Thomas Aquinas referred to the Eucharist as the bread of the angels, because the Eucharist is something that is not of this world. It's from heaven. And because of that, now our soul is nourished. Our soul now is able to continue on in the spiritual life and thrive. And little by little, we grow into the image and likeness we were created in. My friends, I strongly encourage you, take some time this week, and in fact every week, to read this miracle story from John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. In many ways, every time we gather for Mass, we relive this miracle story. We come to Christ poor and hungry. Jesus Christ sees that, and like a good shepherd, he leads us to green pasture so that we can find rest and be fed. We offer Christ meager gifts of bread, water, and wine. He takes those gifts, and in a superabundant act, he transforms them into his body and blood, the greatest gift that he could possibly give us, gifts that are not of this world. And we eat those gifts, and now we are filled. Our soul continues to thrive. We grow in the spiritual world. And better yet, little by little, we continue to grow into the image and likeness that each and every one of us was created in. And that, my friends, is something that we must truly be grateful for. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.